When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Forever Dog. You can listen to this podcast ad-free on Forever Dog Plus by signing up at foreverdogpodcasts.com/plus. And make sure to follow us on social at Forever Dog Team and check out all of our podcasts at foreverdogpodcasts.com. Thank you for your support and enjoy the show.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to Public Domain Theater. This week, Cautionary Tales for Children by Hilaire Belloc, with guest Stephen Ray Morris.
Hi, welcome to Public Domain Theater, the podcast of highbrow readings with lowbrow commentary. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent. And today we are joined by a very special guest. You may know him as the producer of My Favorite Murder. You may know him as the guy that makes Purrcast and See Jurassic Right. We are joined by Stephen Ray Morris.
Thanks for having me.
Aw, thank you Welcome. So much for... Welcome to our home.
I feel like we're in a Victorian, there's like creaking woods and
it's kind of
the space I feel like when this podcast kind of feels like that. I mean, it's not literally what we're in, but it feels like it.
Yeah, and there's like a plate of like just really soggy cucumber sandwiches that no one's eating and we all have tea.
Which is unfortunate because I really wanted to eat them.
I know, but I have
so
made it
soggy.
I've also made it very uncomfortable for anybody to eat. I just keep staring at your mouths.
I will take one home, even though it's going to be too warm to eat by then. Yeah. But I don't want to be rude, so I'm going to take a couple home with me.
And I keep trying to ask if anyone wants a Saran to wrap their sandwich in.
And I just keep asking if anybody has noticed the ghost girl who keeps pulling on the hem of my dress. And you guys keep saying no.
Yeah, we've been gaslighting.
And I was going to say, I truly can't tell if... I'm only seeing the ghost girl, or if you've been gaslighting me. So thank you for just coming out with it. I really appreciate that.
I'm a little scared. It's fine.
Cool.
Stephen, now this week we're departing from our normal form.
A bit, yeah. Although I guess we're discovering our form.
It's true.
We're but a baby podcast.
It's true. And honestly, I think we should be ever evolving.
I like that you used your juicy voice for that. I think we should be ever evolving.
Because it's good to, you know what? It's good to adapt. I took a Myers-Briggs test today again.
Again?
And it was one of those things where it was like,
Are you different?
No, the same.
That was my question.
I changed once. Mm-hmm. And I went from ENFJ to ENFP. But one of the questions really stuck out to me, which was like, it's more important to me to be right than to be adaptable. And I would way rather be adaptable.
Me too.
I think I'd rather be right.
There you go. And I think that's where we differ.
But I was interpreting the question incorrectly. I just realized. I was like, I would rather know that I am on the right side than be adaptable. But I realize now it's I'd rather win than be adaptable. I would not rather win. I would rather actually be right. So I think the true answer for me is adaptable, because as long as if I absolutely come to believe that the other side is right, I will adapt and
admit
my wrongness. But for a second, I thought it was a completely different question.
Interesting. So here's the thing. Here's the thing that I've always thought they should do for Myers-Briggs tests is there should be a thing where it times you how long you take.
Oh, so you can like.
Because like for me, I take
2 seconds.
My sister took like an hour to take it. And I was like, that's part of your personality. You overthink everything.
That should be part of the decision.
Where I was like I need to go with my soul.
Stops you from taking however long you want, but that in and of itself becomes part of the calculation.
Oh, sure.
She took 5 minutes to answer this one, 10 minutes to answer this one.
And that shows how, right.
Well, mm-hmm. I was, what if you know what the questions are trying to get you to answer? And then you just like, well, that looks, I'd rather be that.
Well, here's the thing. You have to try and answer honestly, even if you don't like it.
Oh. And also there are so many questions that is probably a little more difficult to do.
There's
that.
Many, many like, questions.
If you're trying to get sorted into a particular Harry Potter house, you can game the system.
There's more questions on a Myers-Briggs test than there are on a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And less vague artistic interpretation.
Yeah, and less like questions about animals.
Yeah, and less like, what color are your eyes?
Well, it's like, I've made my own, like, which BoJack Horseman character are you on BuzzFeed once?
Nice.
But it's like, it's so hard to make it because you're like, oh, wait, all the A's are Caroline and then all the B's are Diana and all, like, how do I make it so that people aren't gaming it? I don't know.
Yeah. It's so easy.
You
got to
cloak
to
it, man. But you got to, a lot of times with a really quickly made quiz, you can definitely tell like, oh, this is a, like this is a Hogwarts, or I'm sorry, this is a Gryffindor like answer, or like, this is the one that if you answer it this way, you're going to get put in this house or whatever.
Although I will say that I took I think it was a BuzzFeed quiz on which character from Sweet Valley High I am.
That was a good quiz.
It was a good quiz because I got my results and I went, that couldn't possibly be right. And I took it again. I was like, okay, let's really think about our answers, Lindsay. And I answered again. And I can't remember. I think I answered at least one differently, maybe two. Mm-hmm. Same result. I was like, okay, fine. Lindsay. I'm Winston Egbert.
Lindsay, you did not tell me that you took that twice. And you still got Winston.
I got
Winston Lila, and I was
both
like, peace.
Times.
Got the best character.
I must say, I have come to accept that you are a true Slytherin. If you got
absolutely.
Lila... You're a Slytherin.
I told you I'm a Slytherin.
You're
and listen,
right.
Stop trying to tell me that I'm a fucking Hufflepuff, because that ain't true.
I believe it now. I will never tell you that again.
Well, my theory on Hufflepuffs is you can only be a Hufflepuff if you're not ashamed of it. If you're ashamed of it, if you're like that's my thing too. It's like, I'm not a Hufflepuff, I'm a Gryffindor. And it's like, well, Hufflepuff would be like, yeah, I'm a Hufflepuff, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I love who I am. And you're and like, no Hufflepuff would be ashamed of being a Hufflepuff.
Yeah, because I have two friends, a married couple. My friend Jeff, who I've known since college, he and his wife are both Hufflepuff. And every time they go to Universal Studios, they dress in full Hufflepuff
that is
school
so
outfits. And I was like, I know. Alert for any post of Jeff's. It'll be very funny if he listens to this podcast because he does not know this from me yet. Uh-oh. I have an alert for Jeff's Instagram posts.
Nice.
So that whenever he posts, I immediately go and look at them because they are always him and his wife Sarah dressed like in fancy dress.
Oh my God. Here's the thing though. I will say, and I've said this to you before on our Patreon episode, that Hufflepuffs are truly the best people. Like, of all of the houses, they are very good people.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be one of them.
I think I'm with you, Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm like, all the Hufflepuffs in my life are great.
Yeah.
But I don't need that.
Yeah. You don't need that pressure to be that good of a person.
No.
Now I'm wondering if my trying to make you Hufflepuff makes me Hufflepuff.
Because you were like, oh, but like, why wouldn't you want to be? That's great.
Yeah.
You're part Hufflepuff. I think you have Huffle. I think you're Huffle Griff Huffle.
Huffle.
But then also Ravenclaw. I don't know.
Huffle Claw.
You're definitely not Slytherin.
Ravenpuff.
Ravenpuff.
I'm definitely not Slytherin.
Yeah. Well,
we could rehash this on our
new podcast. Lindsay tells Kelly she's a Hufflepuff.
The intervention.
No, but we have to shut that podcast down now because I'm not telling you that anymore.
I know, because
so
you
now it's
be
a
right.
new podcast of let's continually rehash which house we would be in. That could be a weekly podcast easily.
Absolutely.
You should produce
never set
that,
it. It's,
Steven.
Yeah.
You should produce it,
because you would
Steven.
Do it in a creative way that isn't us just getting together and talking every week.
Well, I think you'd have to take different quizzes and you'd have to take like really bad broken ones that like that just don't like they're half finished and everything.
Oh, so like something from like like science-net.uk.au.
Listicle.
Yeah. Yeah, listicle.
Listicle.co. Like, which is a real website.
Exactly.
It's your website?
No, it's a real website.
Oh.
And it's very broken.
Nice. We should use that for a mini-sode sometime.
Sweet.
Sometimes I make Lindsay take quizzes.
It's great. It's very fun.
Okay. So we're reading a bunch of cautionary tale poems. And
which I've never heard of such a thing.
I didn't know they were a thing. And Brett freaking texted us like we knew what it was. He was like, you guys. Don't you both love cautionary tale poems? Here's the thing. This is my Slytherin showing. I'm fucking lying right now.
I was going to say, I don't think that that's how it sounded. And I don't know if this makes me Ravenclaw to be like, let's consult the record here.
You should consult, though, because I was just lying.
Yes, you were.
I was absolutely lying. He totally prepped us.
You were stone cold lying.
Here's the thing. Sometimes I'll throw Brett under the bus for comedy. Because he's not on mic.
Hey, that's part of the role as a producer.
It's true. Know?
It's like
true.
A good audience member. You're there.
Very funny.
You're there for the comedian to, you know, create some magic there that makes the audience mm-hmm. laugh. It's not about you as an audience member, you know, all right. of a sudden becoming the comedian. You're serving true. A role.
But it's also true. Part of, I'm just going to keep being an asshole and doing this. I think maybe what shows that I might be Hufflepuff is I was like, I guess he did. I guess he did do that.
Yeah, you were very naive.
I was like, if Kelly's saying it, I guess it's true.
And that's how I get my power. So what do you guys know about our friend Hilaire Belloc?
Fuck all.
Great.
Nothing. What era are we talking here? That's what I'm most curious about. What
early 20th century.
Ooh.
What?
Ooh.
That's like, I don't know anything about early.
Golden age of cautionary tale poems.
It's like post-romanticism, early, like we're before mm-hmm. all the cool World War I, like T.S. Eliot stuff.
Probably not, maybe not even in the modernist era yet.
Yeah.
Pre-modernism.
I'm just wondering how long of a poem. I feel like that's the only thing that.
Oh, they're short. I think it's a collection of poems.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Because like I feel like that's how poetry just changes every like decade. It's just depending on how long or short it is. I feel like that's the only difference between eras of poetry. It's like, all right, in the 1850s, it's all like Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is like that original Alexander Pope poem is like 4 pages or something.
Yeah, they were like ballads.
Yeah. And then you get to like, Sylvia Plath or something. And it's mm-hmm. like a page or mm-hmm. a few lines or something.
Yeah. Or a haiku.
Oh, haiku. Mm.
Different place.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hilaire was born in 1870 and died in 1953. Okay. Which at first, because of the split of the century, I thought he was like a million, but he died. So he like was, well, for then he was 83. That's a long time.
I mean, to go from post Civil War to World War II,
mm-hmm.
that's a long time.
It's a long time.
His mind must have been blown at the changes.
Yeah.
Cars. That's fucking crazy.
To be alive for all of that. That's like now.
Crazy development.
That's like now, isn't it?
Wait, to be born in the 50s and be alive now?
No, to the amount of changes happening during his life is like, or like, I feel like the difference between 1993 as far as like computers to now, because like futurism is like today.
I guess we'll see when we're 83.
I know. So maybe he's just like, what? It's not normal.
And then we'll all call each other and say like, so do you think that was accurate?
You were right. You know, like.
I'll be like, no, not for me.
Not for me.
Not for my personal experience. No.
He was one of the most prolific writers in England during the early 20th century. He was known as a writer, orator, poet, sailor, satirist, man of letters, soldier, and political activist. Oh. He even served as a member of parliament.
What?
I mean, letters.
Is he a landowner?
I feel like everybody. How come so many people have published their letters? Like. In the early 20th century, like, would you have any correspondence now that you would feel confident, like, printing out and publishing as a book?
God,
like, your group text, would you, would that be a book someday?
I'd sooner burn a teenage journal.
Yeah. Also, like, okay, I'm just imagining, like, emails. Would I do, like, a book of my emails? No. Most of my emails are me coming off like a stone cold bitch because I don't use enough exclamation points.
You can't tell tone. Mm-mm. Although I don't know that that's what man of letters means.
Oh, okay.
What is it? Like, just means like College of Arts and Letters
yeah.
guy?
Oh, okay.
It's something more academic.
He likes the humanities.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if there are like published letters of his.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because people did publish their letters.
Yeah,
it's
for
like,
sure.
Who was it? Emily Dickinson, I feel
yes,
like.
Yes, the letters of Emily Dickinson.
Yeah, there's so many authors
that
have
it. Some letters were really good, though. That's the thing.
Because it was all you had.
Yeah,
it's
all you have.
Like the phone, like using a phone probably. I like how I'm miming a phone as if we're not in a podcast studio in the most modern technology. It's just the phone was probably like insane.
Yeah, wow. It probably was.
Yeah.
Also, you probably
hear
like.
Voices coming out of a stick.
And yeah, and just like the thought that you could immediately say.
Oh, the old sound stick.
Oh, did you hear that voice stick? That new voice stick. I don't know where the voice is coming from.
Hello?
Man of letters just means a male scholar or author. Mm. So like a writer who knows a lot about literature.
Oh, well, maybe that was due in part because of his mother.
I'm going to start calling myself a woman of letters. Okay,
great,
sorry, continue.
Bessie Rayner Parks. She died in 1925. She was a writer, activist, and major force in efforts to gain equal equality for women, being a co-founder of the English Woman's Journal and the Langham Place Group, a feminist activist group.
Nice.
She sounds
like a regular woman of letters.
This is fucking crazy because we were just talking about Harry Potter. But listen, among the group's activities was the establishment of the Society for Promoting the Employment of Women, or SPEW.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
My mind is blown.
SPEW aimed at preparing young women for wider employment opportunities, providing apprenticeships and technical training. No, but Balak, no! Balak!
No, don't even,
Balak,
Brett.
No!
No.
He campaigned against women's suffrage!
Oh, no, and then he burned her at the stake! No!
He was a member of the Women's National Anti-Suffrage League!
That Balak. Little shit.
What a little shit.
You turd.
He also Balak. Did not believe in evolution by means of natural selection.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
No. He carried on a public debate with H.G. Wells throughout the 1920s, criticizing Wells's secular bias.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Balak.
And then a note from Brett. Big fan of the Catholic Church.
That's Brett's opinion. He's a big fan of the Catholic Church.
This
Brett.
Real quick. Well, real quick, I'm a fan of the Catholic Church. Okay, here's the rest of his bio.
Also, okay, so we've said that Brett writes these bios with a little bit of editorializing. He was powerfully built with great stamina and walked extensively in Britain, Europe, and America.
I thought it was going to end at Britain and that he had put a question mark on the end of it. In Britain?
He walked the entire country.
What? Okay. So while he was courting his future wife, this American woman named Elodie Hogan, Elodie?
Some very interesting names
God,
up in
these
here.
These are some fucking like Amish names.
I was going to say Star Wars. Jedi Master Elodie Hogan.
Yes. Oh my God.
Oh, wow.
Totally.
Definitely.
He walked a good part of the way from the Midwest to her home in Northern California.
What? Would you perhaps call him a great walker?
Walk 500.
Yeah.
less than 30 seconds.
Okay. This is how he paid for his lodging. By sketching the owners and reciting poetry. I would be like, this is a ripoff. He'd be like, I can pay you with my services. Let me recite a poem.
No.
Nothing
no.
new.
Why don't you go down to the boardwalk and do some caricatures, you fucking anti-evolution dumbass.
Fucking no.
Could you imagine?
Not even.
Paying for something with a poem now?
Oh, God.
Do you think they do that at Burning Man?
What are you, fucking Harmony Korine?
Yes.
Why do you have to
yes,
do
I
that?
Do.
May I have some water? Here's a poem.
I think that people are doing that, like...
on the playa.
Like, hipstery thing in, like, Central Park or something.
They got married.
She went for it. Okay, Elodie.
She loved it. In his later years, he would sail when he could afford to do so and became a well-known yachtsman. He won a bunch of races. He was on a French sailing team.
This guy assigned himself a lot of titles.
Yeah. I feel like he didn't do that.
I'm a man of letters. I'm a yachtsman.
He sailed a bunch around the coast of England with the help of younger men. What is that sentence?
do we have another
self-hating,
closeted gay gentleman?
One of them wrote a book about his time on the water with Belloc. Dermot McCarthy wrote it, called Sailing with Mr. Belloc.
Oh, that's such a sweet little like sitcom, sweet. Like Disney sitcom.
Tuesdays with Maury and Sailing with Mr. Belloc.
What? Uh-oh. His cause of death. Just guess. Guess anything.
He was eaten by a whale.
He was killed by a Catholic priest.
He fell off a bike.
Okay, you guys are close.
Okay, okay. I want to guess one more time.
He involved falling.
Okay, fell off a pew in church.
Okay, that's getting close because now there's wood involved.
Oh.
He walked the plank?
No. Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready? Yes. He fell into his own fireplace.
What? No.
Oh, he's putting logs down. He died from burns and shock.
Oh my God. What?
It's horrifying.
How big of a fireplace? It's
okay. Okay. Here's what made me stop laughing just now is remembering that he was 83.
Yeah, okay, 83 is sad.
I was thinking he was like 40 when this happened. I was like, ha ha, you asshole.
And he's like, whoa.
And instead I'm picturing, like, I saw this very, very old man in the Ralphs last night, very slowly pushing his cart and very slowly trying to get a box of cereal down. I was like, oh, do I need to offer my help or is that patronizing?
So that's now funny. I'm picturing that's like the exact that same thing that his maid said while he was falling in the fireplace.
Oh, should I offer my help? But he's a grown man and I don't want to impose. He'll probably get out of that fireplace. No problem.
I mean, she made him sign a will and she's good to go.
She's good. Okay. She's solid.
Good.
She's clear.
Smart.
But yeah, that's him. Wow, what a roller coaster.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was like, oh, cool, liberal family. No.
Oh, God, he rebelled in the worst way.
Oh, the worst.
Well, now I'm just curious about these cautionary tales because I was thinking he was like a Walt Whitman type who was like nature and like global warming is a thing, but it's called something like
1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think these are probably going to be a little fucked up.
Yeah, agree.
So we'll just go around Robin. And here they are with illustrations.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, can I first say it's dedicated to Bobby, Johnny, and Eddie Somerset.
Yes,
that doesn't sound like that's his kids. Who are those people?
Now it sounds like we're in the 70s or something.
I know.
Somerset, Bobby.
What are you doing, Bobby?
What happened to Elodie?
Oh, yeah. Elodie. Fuck Elodie. He doesn't care about Elodie. All right. The introduction says, upon being asked by a reader whether the verses contained in this book were true. And is it true? It is not true. And if it were, it wouldn't do for people such as me and you, who pretty nearly all day long are doing something rather wrong. Because if things were really so, you would have perished long ago, and I would not have lived to write the noble lines that meet your sight, nor BTB survived to draw the nicest things you ever saw.
Okay. Interesting.
He's definitely a Slytherin.
What's BTB?
Yeah. BTB is the illustrator, I believe.
Okay.
Yep, pictures by BTB.
I now have a bit better of a handle on him, which is that he's probably like a shitty conservative Shel Silverstein.
Yep.
Oh, that just really bummed me out.
Man, oh man.
Although now that I think about it, I have no idea. I assume he was like kind of a liberal artsy guy because of my remembering the poems and because of the Giving Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's probably liberal.
Yeah, I feel like.
What if he was a shitty conservative?
I mean,
guy?
Wasn't Roald Dahl kind of shitty too?
He was shitty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Jim, who ran away from his nurse and was eaten by a lion.
Is that the title of the poem?
Yep.
Oh my God.
There was a boy whose name was Jim. His friends were very good to him. They gave him tea and cakes and jam and slices of delicious ham and chocolate with pink inside. What is that?
Ham.
Ham.
I just think of Ponyo.
Ham.
Chocolate covered ham.
Dude, okay, I love most of those movies, but Ponyo bugged the shit out of me because the ham thing. I was like, someone shut that kid up.
I've never seen it.
She does is scream, ham!
It's Little Mermaid, but
ham.
With a frog.
But yeah, ham. Frog mermaid ham. Yep.
Was that the English translation instead of ponios? Frog mermaid ham.
And little tricycles to ride, and read him stories through and through, and even took him to the zoo. But there it was, the dreadful fate befell him, which I now relate. You know, at least you ought to know, for I have often told you so, that children never are allowed to leave their nurses in a crowd.
I have just met you, sir.
Now, this was Jim's special foible. He ran away when he was able. That didn't rhyme. And on this...
when he was oible.
When he was oible. And on this inauspicious day, he slipped his hand and ran away. He hadn't gone a yard when, bang, with open jaws, a lion sprang and hungrily began to eat the boy, beginning at his feet. Now, just imagine how it feels when first your toes and then your heels, and then by gradual degrees, your
shins.
This was
a very conscientious lion.
And ankles.
He's like, I'm sorry, I'm a little OCD, so I have to go toes up on you.
Just like the most even bites.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Calves and knees are slowly eaten bit by bit.
Oh, I couldn't have another.
I highly doubt this was slow.
No
highly
wonder.
Doubt.
Also, okay, this next part is confusing. No wonder Jim detested it. No wonder that he shouted, hi.
Wait, is that the end?
No.
Okay. Oh. I was like, come on.
Wow, this next part's rude. The honest keeper heard his cry. Though very fat, he almost ran to help the little gentleman.
He's like, you know what? Uh-huh. I'm pretty fat. But that kid's in such trouble. I'm going to try for a run.
Almost. This is some lazy rhyming here. Ponto, he ordered as he came, for Ponto was the lion's name. Ponto, he cried with angry frown.
Ponyo, ponyo.
Ponyo, ham.
Ham. Frog mermaid ham. Stop eating that boy.
Let go, sir. Down, sir. Put it down. The lion made a sudden stop. He let the dainty morsel drop and slunk reluctant to his cage, snarling.
Very obedient.
Very obedient. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was hangry.
Need a Snickers?
He's wearing a shirt that says, I'm sorry for the things I said when I was hangry.
And everybody's like, oh, that shirt is so basic.
But they don't say it because they're afraid.
They don't say it because, like, you don't want to be mean to your friends.
He, snarling with disappointed rage. But when he bent over Jim, the honest keeper's eyes were dim. The lion having reached his head, the miserable boy was dead. When nurse informed his parents, they were more concerned than I can say. His mother, as she dried her eyes, said, well, it gives me no surprise. He would not do as he was told. His father, who was self-controlled, bade all the children round attend to James's miserable end and always keep a hold of nurse for fear of finding something worse.
Okay, this guy's a fucking dick.
Yeah, I know, he's a nightmare.
He's scaring the shit out of children, like, don't let go of your nurse's hand, otherwise you'll be eaten by a lion.
Yeah, this is, now I get what they mean by cautionary tales.
Yeah.
This also reminds me of that tiger that ate those kids at the San Francisco Zoo.
Yeah.
Because they were on mushrooms and teasing the tiger, and the tiger jumped. Scientists were like, tigers can only jump this high. And this tiger was like, I can jump higher because these kids are like,
Beg to differ.
It just it's like, this is like this is the early 20th century version of that.
Yeah. Sans mushrooms.
Sans mushrooms. I mean, he could have, Jim was.
We don't know.
Yeah, he had all that ham.
We don't know. He had all that ham.
We don't know what they were calling mushrooms at the time. Could have been ham. Like, hey man, you tried ham?
I like to lick ham.
All right, this one's a little shorter. Henry King, who chewed bits of string and was early cut off in dreadful agonies.
Oh, man.
These are fun titles.
This is like anti-pika.
These are,
I trust you.
You know, 5 ways to discover how you can be eaten by a lion. Like,
yeah.
Listicles.
Yeah, headlines.
5 ways to know if you're being eaten by a lion.
Okay. The chief defect of Henry King was chewing little bits of string. At last he swallowed some which tied itself in ugly knots inside.
It's about pica. My cat has pica. She eats brooms.
My strange addiction. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, my strange addiction. This is like eating tissues or fucking...
The inside of a couch.
Or, yeah, yeah, like couch cushion stuff and like...
Yeah, paper clips.
And like dryer sheets.
Yeah. And you said, oh, this is like a pica. I was like, oh, I guess that's a poetry term for a pentameter.
Like eating things.
Like a Pokemon.
Like iambic pentameter.
Iambic it's Pokemon.
A pico.
Pico.
A pica.
Gotcha. A pica.
Physicians of the utmost fame were called at once, but when they came, they answered as they took their fees, there is no cure for this disease. Henry will very soon be dead. His parents stood about his bed, lamenting his untimely death. When Henry, with his latest breath, cried, oh, my friends, be warned by me that breakfast, dinner, lunch, and tea are all the human frame requires. With that, the wretched child expires.
Wait, I'm sorry. So are we to expect that sweeping the nation in 19, like, whatever, it's kids are eating string?
Chewing string. Well, it's basically
they should do
ultimate
one about kids,
lesson.
Girls eating their hair.
The ultimate lesson
cotton
is
balls.
Only eat food.
Only eat food, cotton balls.
So he was saying all you need are breakfast, dinner, lunch, and tea.
But he's victim blaming because this person has an addiction.
Right. He can't stop.
Yeah. And it's like your fault for eating string.
Are we so surprised the guy who doesn't believe in evolution also victim blamed?
Here's the thing though. If your child is eating string, you need to ask, why is the child eating string? Let's dig deeper.
Or
we need to talk about Kevin.
Hide all your hair ties. Your cats don't eat them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or hit him more.
You know, one time my cat ate a whole string and then she pooped it out, but it was like stuck out of her butt and I had to pull it out. It was one of the most disgusting things I've ever done.
That must have been so unpleasant for you both.
Yeah, no, she screamed.
Yeah. Oh,
she was like,
I've never heard my cat scream before.
And I was like, I'm sorry. This is the most disgusting thing either of us has ever done.
There was a guest recently as a vet who, minifig came out of a dog.
Oh, no.
Dog was fine, but
good.
My dog, when I was walking him one time, ate the dried up corpse of a dead sparrow. The whole fucking he saw this flattened bird, and he stuck it in his mouth. And before I didn't know what to grab it with because I didn't want to touch the dead bird.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just chomped it until he had swallowed the whole thing whole.
That is so foul.
And like at the end, it was just its two little bird legs hanging out. I mean, it was everything.
Ooh, it's like,
I was yelling at him to stop and I started gagging and I thought I was going to throw up.
So
I thought
foul.
It was just going to be this scene of my dog eating a dead bird corpse and
it was
me
the type
vomiting
of foul.
Next to him.
Good one. Foul. That's really funny.
You know what? That was really clever.
I'm going to finish my coffee.
And he was fine.
Oh, good. Mm. Glad to hear it.
How?
That is very disgusting.
How is that possible to be totally fine? You just ate bones.
Because they eat like...
It's fucking crazy.
They eat all that kind of nasty shit.
I know. Dogs,
if they're just out and about...
Dogs.
And bird bones are...
Steven,
it
is to you.
All right. So who told lie? Or is it
Matilda is the title. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
And then
let's go back.
The thing below. Yeah.
Matilda, who told lies and was burned to death.
Okay.
Whoa.
You know what? You
of
know
course
what?
The woman.
Look to the future.
Of course the female.
Also,
I already,
karma's
yeah.
a bitch.
I think I know what, I think, oh.
Is she going to fall into a fireplace?
Oh, yes.
No, I
oh,
just.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just think this is, I can already tell the ending is going to be like, she wanted to learn. So she, I can just tell, but let's read.
Let's see.
Maybe
reserve judgment.
Let's throw
maybe she deserved it.
Let's throw a boy a hill like a bone.
Mm-hmm.
Matilda told such capitalized dreadful lies.
Oh.
It made one gasp and stretch one's eyes. Her aunt, who, from her earliest youth, had kept a strict regard for truth, attempted to believe Matilda. The effort very nearly killed her.
Oh,
killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And would have done so had not she discovered this infirmity infirmity is like, I feel like infirmity like was sickness, used a lot. Isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like it was handicap. Used a lot.
We mm-hmm. need to bring infirmity back.
Mm-hmm. It's a lovely word.
For once towards the close of day, he likes to capitalize a lot of random words. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not random. They mean that a something.
Lot. Yeah. Yeah.
They
like,
mean something.
Like capital V, like very capital I important.
Yeah.
Matilda, growing tired of play and finding she was left alone, went tiptoe to the telephone.
Oh, God. Well, what's she going to do?
The text like went wrapped around the word.
Yeah. It's very fun.
I was like, ooh, this is it's like a puzzle.
On the picture.
And I don't know how the meter's going to go.
And summoned the immediate aid of London's noble fire brigade. Now I can't read. Within an hour of the gallant band were pouring in on every hand. From Putney, Hackney, Downs, and Bow, with courage high and hearts aglow, they galloped roaring through the town. Matilda's house is burning down.
Oh
no.
It's a cried wolf Boy, situation. Cried wolf.
Inspired by British cheers and loud, proceeding from the frenzied crowd, they ran their ladders through a score of windows on the bellroom floor and took peculiar pains to... Oh, I have to look ahead to see what some of these words rhyme with.
Yeah.
Souse, and took peculiar pains to souse and pictures up and down the house until Matilda's aunt succeeded in showing them that they were not needed. And even though she had to pay to get the men to go away... That's understanding.
Yeah.
It happened a few weeks later. Her aunt was off to the theater to see the interesting
theater
to see that interesting play, the second Mrs. Tanqueray. Oh, like the gin?
Tanqueray gin.
Yeah, I guess so.
She had refused to take her niece to hear the entertaining piece, a deprivation just and wise to punish her for telling lies. That night, a fire did break out. You should have heard Matilda shut. Just fires were just
everywhere.
I think, yeah, like at the 1800s, like fire was like, the biggest.
You're
yeah.
right. It's like the Chicago fire where they were like, oh, no, our roofs are made out of like flammable tar and the streets are made of wood. And there's literally fireballs flying around. Like it was horrible.
Just, also, they hadn't invented the fire vaccination yet.
That's right. You know, that's fucking fake, Lindsay. Fire vaccinations
oh my
just
God.
Give you
I'm sick
fire.
Of your anti-vaccine bullshit. We will talk about that on our Harry Potter house podcast. This isn't the place.
It's not.
Slytherin.
It's not lit. That night a fire did break out. Oh. You should have heard Matilda shout.
That's so mean.
You should
is
She's
this a child.
Is yeah. this what inspired the movie Matilda?
Oh.
Maybe we'll see. We'll get to the end.
I don't know,
we'll see,
but we'll just said Roald Dahl was also shitty.
Yeah. Mm. You should have heard Matilda shout. You should have heard her scream and bawl and throw the window up and call to people passing in the street. The rapidly increasing heat encouraging her to obtain their confidence, but all in vain. For every time she shouted, fire! They only answered, little liar.
What? Whoa. But like you can see a fire. Like you can smell
yeah,
a fire. You can see
on.
A fire.
Man, that's a great barbecue. and therefore when her aunt.
Tilda.
Yeah. She's crying wolf. And therefore when her aunt returned, Matilda and the house were burned.
Oh,
that's the end.
That's it.
He ends so abruptly.
Yeah, it's just done. Like a quick stop.
Like he's like, there's the lesson. You done got burnt. So.
You burnt.
Like there's no.
She done got burnt.
Because I feel like in cautionary, like Aesop's fables type stuff, yeah. or like Peter Rabbit, I feel like there's always kind of like an epilogue of everyone being
like a denouement.
Yeah, of like, Matilda, she didn't learn. And, you know, kids, like, we could all take a lesson. Now have some tea and avoid looking at the corpse in the living room. You know, like.
Well, he kind of did what that with the
with
first
the
poem.
First one, yeah. Because all the, it's like the dad's like, all right, everybody.
Yeah.
All you children come.
Gather around.
Yeah,
gather
that's
around.
That's true, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this next one. Franklin Hyde, who caroused in the dirt and was corrected by his uncle. The worst punishment.
Terrifying.
Corrected by his uncle. Uncle
although we don't know how horrible this uncle was.
Actually, now I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, God. The uncle looks scary.
Uh-oh.
His uncle came on Franklin Hyde, carousing in the dirt. He shook him hard from side to side and hit him till it hurt.
Oh, God.
Okay, here's the thing.
Munchausen.
Exclaiming with a final thud, take that, abandoned boy.
Whoa. mean? Sorry. He was an orphan.
For playing with disgusting mud as though it were a toy. Moral. From Franklin Hyde's Adventure. Learn to pass your leisure time in cleanly merriment and turn from mud and ooze and slime and every form of nastiness. But on the other hand, children in ordinary dress may always play with sand.
What?
What's the lesson
poem
here?
There is like, don't play in dirt in your fancy clothes or I'll beat the shit out of you.
Here's the thing. It doesn't necessarily say that he's wearing anything special.
We have to assume if there was an addendum.
I guess so. So the moral of the story, here's the problem. The moral of the story shouldn't introduce new details that we didn't know before.
Yeah. Amen.
Also, it shouldn't be this long. Moral of the story should be like, you know, do not covet thy neighbor's wife.
String.
neighbor's string when you have pica.
I thought everyone was nasty back then.
That's the thing. Is this fucking like Whitechapel times? Because then, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's his name?
Harry Potter.
No, yeah, Harry Potter and
Hiram Bullock or whatever the fuck this guy's name is.
Harry Potter, Hiram Bullock, and the guy that cut up a bunch of women. What's that?
Jack
called?
The Ripper.
Thank you.
I was like Jack Sparrow.
he's a lot common with that uncle.
Oh God, true. Okay, are you guys ready? Have fun with that name.
Wow. I'm very excited I got this one. Godolphin Horn, who was
Godolphin.
Cursed. Godolphin Horn, who was cursed with the sin of pride and became a bootblack.
Oh.
He thought really well against Thanos this weekend.
He got a good job. Okay.
Yeah, it seems like he got a fine
Godolphin
job.
Godolphin Horn was nobly born. He held the human race in scorn and lived with all his sisters where his father lived in Berkeley Square. And oh, the lad was deathly proud. He never shook your hand or bowed, but merely smirked and nodded. Thus, how perfectly ridiculous.
Really? I'm sorry. The cadence of that was like his writing.
The part of the problem is the thus was hiding under the illustration's foot.
Don't blame yourself, Lindsay.
Oh, thank you.
It's not that. Like, he needs to think. You know what he needs to do? He needs to read his work out loud.
I think he didn't. I think he wanted it said that way.
Ugh.
Honestly, I think
I think he's like, this is fun.
Let's do it again.
I think anybody does weird formatting like that is like, oh my gosh, wouldn't this be so fun?
It's so cute. Yeah, they're like, I'm being so cute.
I'm so cute with this poem. But merely smirked and nodded thus. How perfectly ridiculous. Alas, that ridiculous. Such affected tricks should flourish in a child of 6. For such was young Godolphin's age. In parentheses, such was young Godolphin's age.
And he was like 6, and he's like, which is unrelated because Godolphin was 43.
Feels like a mic drop. He's like,
yeah,
6, and boom.
And then he runs back and he's like, for such was his age.
When he was workshopping this, he went, should flourish in a child of 6. And then he went on and somebody was like, who, what child was 6? Who was Godolphin? You should say that.
If you lose one person in the room, you lost every money.
Yeah. You have to talk down to the dumbest, the lowest common denominator. I'm it. For such was young Godolphin's age. Just then the court required a page, whereat the Lord High Chamberlain, the kindest and the best of men.
Of men.
that was very like a Lindsay like Kiwi problem. The best of men.
Best of men.
Men.
Okay.
Men. He went good-naturedly and took a perfectly enormous book.
He went good-naturedly and took.
I fully believe this is how it should sound.
I love that. Beep, beep, bop, bop, boop, beep,
a perfectly enormous book called People Qualified to Be Attendant on His Majesty, and murmured as he scanned the list, to see that no one should be missed. There's William Coutts has got the flu, and Billy Higgs would never do, and guy, what the
too many
fuck?
Characters.
Also, yeah, no, this is just too many characters. Also, like, what is this book? I was not paying attention.
Okay. Oh, okay. I understand what's going on.
Okay, okay.
All right. He took it on a book.
Uh-huh.
The book.
What book?
Was called.
Uh-huh.
The Bible.
People Qualified to Be in the Bible. People Qualified to Be Attendant on His Majesty.
Who? Who's
so
the Majesty?
Then he saw the all boy? These names. The names I'm saying are like, oh, this guy's qualified to attend on His Majesty.
Who's
but
His
he
Majesty?
He got the flu.
Who's His Majesty? The king?
The Lord Chamberlain.
Oh, the little boy?
I think.
Oh.
You had to read the first book. See the first couple movies.
Oh, okay. I would have appreciated it last week on.
Okay. Here's what's up, you guys.
Okay.
Here's what's going on. Uh-huh. So, the court needed a page.
Oh.
So because of that, Lord Chamberlain, he was the kindest and the best of men. He was like, okay, I'm going to go consult the book.
The book, okay.
Because he needs a page. So who's qualified to attend?
Wait, I'm sorry. Is one of these people the little boy? The six-year-old boy? Go
We're
dolphin?
Getting there.
Oh, okay.
We're
I'm
getting
sorry.
There.
I'm
sorry. So these are the people in the book.
Yes.
Followed by the reasons they're not available.
Uh-huh.
To attend,
uh-huh.
Which I assume will result in Godolphin attending His Majesty.
I'm here.
That's where we're at. Okay. That's where we're at. A perfectly enormous book called People Qualified to Be Attendant on His Majesty and murmured as he scanned the list to see that no one should be missed. There's William Coates, has got the flu, and Billy Higgs would never do. And Guy DeVere is far too young and wasn't Dalton's father hung? And as for
in
Alexander Bates.
Father hung?
He's otherwise engaged for that reason. And wasn't Dalton's father hung? And as for Alexander Bing, I think I know the kind of thing a churchman cleanly, nobly born. Come, let us say Godolphin horn?
Sorry. Godolphin?
Godolphin horn?
Godolphin horn?
So they're like, oh, all these people can't do it. Oh, what about that Godolphin horn?
So
that
he's
a kid whose name is such.
Okay. He's six.
He's six. But they just need a page.
Okay. But then there was another kid that was too young. So like,
he was,
you know what? It was a different time.
He was a fetus.
Oh.
He hadn't been born yet.
For some reason, I thought you were saying, I don't know why, like something spelled F-E-T-I-S.
He a fetus.
As if it were like a religion.
I thought you were referring to a poetry term.
A fetus?
Here's the important thing to know about the Guy DeVere illustration telling us he's far too young. He looks to be 1 year old in a little dress holding a wooden horse with the face of a 50-year-old man.
Benjamin Button.
His body's like, too young, but his face is too old.
You guys, we'll post this on the Twitter, but like, what is this even?
No, he has Pete Campbell hair. He looks
like his child.
Looks like Bob's Big Boy.
Yeah.
So anyway, Bob's Big Boy,
He's too young.
So, Godolphin horn.
Okay.
But hardly had he said the word when murmurs of dissent were heard.
Oh, everybody hates
the king
him.
Of Iceland's eldest son said, thank you, I am taking none. The aged Duchess of Althone remarked in her sub-acid tone, I doubt if he is what we need, with which the bishops all agreed. And even Lady Mary Flood, so kind and, oh, so really good, said,
yikes.
No, he wouldn't do it all. He got a crush on Lady Mary.
Yeah, and he also was,
she's so kind. She's so really good. So, okay. Like, if she's saying that, you know, so, it's some shit.
He's so bad at complimenting women. He's like, she's good.
She's, no, but she's like, really good.
Wow. You're really good.
Like, it is like, so in the Catholic Church, you can only compliment women on their goodness.
Yeah, it's true.
We all know this.
It's true. Oh. And pureness.
And pureness.
You're so pure.
You're so pure.
So kind. And oh, so really good.
Not very? Said, why really and not
so
very?
So really good. Said, no, he wouldn't do it all. He'd make us feel a lot too small.
Mm-hmm.
The Chamberlain said, well, well, well. No doubt you're right. One cannot tell. He took his golden diamond pen and scratched Godolphin out again. Oh, this is how it ends? So now Godolphin is the boy who blacks the boots at the Savoy.
Oh, he got the job.
A different
only
job.
Only because he couldn't be the page.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like down the street. Yeah.
He would have gotten the opportunity to attend to His Majesty.
Yeah.
If he wasn't such a little bitch.
Well, here's my issue.
Of a 6-year-old.
Yeah. Also, like,
you know that kid's never going to change. Once you're who you are at six, that's it for life.
Also, like, if you are...
I'm 45 years old.
Right, Bob's big boy. I'm too young.
Well, if you are... There are plenty of people who are happy being bootblacks.
Also, why is that the backup job?
It doesn't seem to track.
Also, why does he need a job?
He's six.
It was a different time, like you said.
It was a different time. He was already old.
I guess. Like, was he an orphan?
No, he had parents.
No, it said he was nobly born.
Yeah.
Maybe he grew up to be a bootblack.
Maybe it's like an Anastasia situation.
Forgotten.
Oh, fire. Yeah.
Amnesia. Fire amnesia.
Oh, fire. Bat. He didn't have a vaccine.
Bartok.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's just a little boy. Why is this nobly born little boy...
Why is he working
having
at all?
To work as a bootblack?
Do you think it was like a revolution in the again, it's like the former family was... Awesome. Yeah, exactly.
You know what? Listen. This is what happens when your poetry has to be abridged.
Yeah.
We don't get that information.
Oh, it's abridged.
So it's abridged. I think there was
the extended version.
I think there were 8 verses about the revolution and how he fled. He had to pretend he wasn't a Romanov.
But then he came out on top. Like, he's not fucking dead or, like, stabbed to death or shot.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
He's fine.
His dad's not hung.
He was a shitty little 6-year-old. His dad's not hung or hung. Side note before we read the next poem. I am being haunted by the history of Anastasia and the Romanovs.
Why?
Is everywhere I go now.
Well, because I feel like last podcast on the left just did a whole thing on the Romanovs.
And Rasputin.
Like, Rasputin specifically.
It's all over the place.
Like, and then there's a new miniseries coming out on TV.
There is?
Yeah.
People are very into Rasputin and the Romanovs.
Again. Like, all of a sudden, we read Heart of Iron.
Yeah.
Anastasia's
story.
Because we're doing an ad for it. And I really liked it, genuinely.
Genuinely.
Go check it out. And I'm
in an ad.
Yeah. Welcome. So I'm reading that. I'm about to have my egg extraction procedure because I froze my eggs. And I'm sitting there with it. And the woman who is my anesthesiologist says, oh, I've heard of that book. And I was like, you have? And I was like, oh, it's really good. It's based on the tale of Anastasia. And she goes, oh, it's so sad what happened to that family. And then she goes, I had a lot of family who had to go to Russian work camps after that. My grandfather died. He lost his store. I'm afraid it could happen here now. Good luck.
Wow.
And then so there was that. And then I finished the book. And then I was at a used bookstore and I came across this copy. And I feel like it was in the American history section. I came across this book about Nicholas and Alexandra and their history. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get it. I just read that other book. And then all of a sudden, like, I was listening to the back catalog of Getting Curious with, his name, Jonathan Van Ness. Ness? Mm-hmm. No, that's the street. Van Ness. Thank you, Brett. From Queer Eye and Gay of Thrones. And one of his episodes is about the fucking Romanovs. And then this just now. And then something else happened. I forget what it was. But it's like been, this is like at least the 6th Anastasia thing that's just popped up in my life.
It's coming back.
It's in the zeitgeist, man.
You guys, I think I might be Anastasia is what I'm trying to say. And nobody's picking up on
the reincarnation.
Thank you.
So good.
Except, Stephen was right. It's reincarnation. But that's so sweet.
Anyway,
Kelly,
look good.
That's so sweet.
Channeling. You're the vessel for the new.
I'm the vessel.
Wow.
Anastasia.
Romanov.
Next poem.
All right.
Next poem.
Algernon.
Flowers for. Sad.
Flowers for, comma, Algernon.
Algernon, who played with a loaded gun and on a...
No!
It gets so much worse.
Oh, no.
And on missing his sister was reprimanded by his father.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he missed her.
Well,
missed
he missed.
Okay.
But still, I don't like that there's a sister involved.
It just feels close. And all the artwork is giving me bad vibes.
Hashtag bad vibes.
Young Algernon, the doctor's son. I don't think that was meant to rhyme. I just made it rhyme. Young Algernon, the doctor's son, was playing with a loaded gun. He pointed towards his sister, aimed very carefully, but missed her. His father, who...
Jesus.
was standing near, the loud explosion chanced to hear, and reprimanded Algernon for playing with a loaded gun.
Here's the thing.
Oh, I guess that wasn't too bad.
Also,
wait,
like...
that was it?
That's it.
So here's the thing. Don't put in the title the entire plot of your poem.
The entire story. Thing.
I guess, yeah, I mean...
That was the whole story.
That was the whole thing.
Literally the
it
whole
was
thing.
Too
his,
short.
And his dad looks so disappointed in him. At least it's not the uncle that's hitting the...
Oh, beating him up. Here's the thing. You get beat the shit out of you for playing in
look
mud.
Disappointed
you. But you like...
Oh,
uh-oh.
It went somewhere else.
Watch the beginning.
Oh, no, the beginning.
The beginning.
The beginning. Begin the beginning.
They're a type of alien creature.
Ew. Also, like, these kids look... bad. Like, they look terrible.
Look, well, there's hard on kids at the life. Turn of the century. Getting their fingers chopped off in factories.
52.
Exactly.
Their faces are just beat.
I'm 7.
Oh my god, he's in the picture. You didn't mention that he's looking into the barrel of the gun.
He's like a porg.
Did you say he's like a porg?
Yeah, because there's the porg that looks into the lightsaber.
But he also looks like a porg.
He does look like a porg. If anybody wants to see these, we'll post a link to this story on our Twitter account. So now you have to follow us on Twitter.
And we'll post, maybe we'll post a like best ofs of the pictures on our Instagram. Now you have to follow us on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's such a marketing, baby.
I mean, I just thought it was going to get worse because... it's like the Chekhov's gun thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I thought this was going to...
Instead, he showed a gun.
But he's...
and used it immediately and was done.
But then this is like you know, our boy Hillock. Hillock? Is that how you say it?
Haddock.
Haddock.
No, I don't know. Haddock, I think, is a type of fish.
Hillock.
Hillock is a fish.
Haddock.
Wait, maybe I just don't know what things are fish and what things are not fish.
Help.
Hillock? Hilaire.
Oh,
as in Bellic. Hilarious.
As in these poems are hilarious.
Okay. I think because he's conservative, of course, when it comes to playing with guns, he's like, just a pat on the, you know, just a slap on the wrist.
Scolded.
Nothing.
Yeah, the other kid let go of his nurse's hand. He got eaten by a lion.
Yeah.
What?
And then you love nature. You're a little girl. All those things. The house burns down.
Yeah, die.
But if you're a boy that plays with guns, don't worry about it. Yeah, you're fine.
You just get scolded, which is the worst punishment a little boy can get.
Yeah, I'm not angry. I'm just disappointed.
Hildebrand, who was frightened by a passing motor and was brought to reason.
Again, the whole story.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wait,
frightened by a passing motor.
Oh, murder.
That doesn't sound like
cars
her
were
fault.
New.
What was that, Papa? My child, it was a motor car, a most ingenious toy, designed to captivate and charm, much rather than to rouse alarm in any English boy. What would your great-grandfather, who was aide-de-camp to General Brew and lost a leg at Waterloo, and Quatre Bras and Ligny too, and died at Trafalgar? That doesn't rhyme with any of them.
That has to be
does
a thing.
Rhyme with the next?
No.
There's not a, like, square?
No.
That has to be a thing on your podcast when you're listeners. It's like, if you, like, hesitate on finishing a rhyme that because it doesn't end on a rhyme, that you take a drink.
Yes. What would he have remarked to hear his young descendant shriek with fear because he happened to be near a harmless motor car? There it is. Wow. Okay, hold on.
There was the
Trafalgar.
But that was so Trafalgar. Long. But do not fret about it. Come, we'll off to town and purchase some. Also,
some?
You don't purchase
multiple motor cars?
Some motor car.
You know what?
This rich
we'll
fuck.
Take a handful of motor cars. I'm very rich. I'm a man and I'm absolutely white and I'm rich.
The sun looks like...
and evolution's a lie.
Pee-wee Herman.
No. Ugh. Melting Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah. Tiny Pee-wee.
Cars are pretty scary.
He looks like Stephen Fry.
That's more accurate, Stephen Fry. Well, people that were getting, like, killed by cars all the time in, like, the 20s. Like, Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
That lady. Yeah. Daisy, right? So Daisy, she gets hit
Michelle
by a car.
Williams.
Yeah. No, she
Michelle.
Gets in a car no. accident.
No. Wait, no, the not Daisy. I'm sorry. The
mistress?
The mistress of Tom.
Yeah, she gets
she
hit
dies.
By a car.
She gets run over by a car. Sad times, man.
There was no seatbelts. There was no
and no
power
collapsing
steering.
Either. So mm-hmm. like, because they were like, oh, if your car's like really hard, then that's good. But it's like, but then you keep going.
Yeah.
And your car stopped.
Like, huh? Physics? What?
There's a great dollop about the, well, this is in, I'm assuming this is in London, right?
Yeah,
he's English.
It is. I would assume. Yeah.
They did a great dollop on the history of cars in the United States. Oh, and it's just like so many kids would get hit because that's where kids used to play in the street.
Yeah.
Oh, sad times. You know what? He had every right to be scared. And how is this a cautionary tale? And then how is his punishment getting several cars?
Yeah. Well, he didn't like them. Now he's very scared.
Oh, so it's like you have to smoke the whole pack.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
You have to drive this car.
You have to drive all the
cars.
You
have to drive all these cars.
All the cars.
This whole pack
of
cars.
Have you ever driven a car that doesn't have power steering?
No.
I did it once. My roommate had a VW Bug, like the in Little Miss Sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave up. I couldn't do it.
Wait, what do you, like, do you just have to really crank it?
You just have to,
it?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I've never done that, ever.
I don't. It was terrifying. Also, the fact that when you're driving a car where the window is right here.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
Because you're right up against it.
Yeah.
And there's, like, no, like,
I mean,
the window's right there and the front of the car's right there.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yikes.
Yeah, it felt like I was in this poem. I felt like I was in this poem.
Zoomed in on that picture, Lindsay.
That's because it's important and it needs to be seen. So please know that the subject of the next poem is this horrifying baby.
Oh my God. Rosemary's Baby.
It's got a black hole for a mouth.
You know that scene in Buffy the Vampire Slayer where the first is taken is pretending to be that blonde girl?
Yes.
And she smiles and then her smile keeps getting bigger
that
until her mouth goes inside out.
That is the thing that scares me the most in any kind of horror.
Yeah. When someone's mouth keeps opening.
Yes.
Mouths it's that
ooh.
Fucking freaky.
Yeah. It's like their mouth, like they smile and then it's just the mouth gets open more and more and more until it, that she went like inside out and gets eaten like by her own mouth.
Ooh. Or like Beetlejuice.
Oh.
I'm okay with that one.
That one freaked
it's me still
out.
Creepy.
But you mean more
I'll
of
allow
a,
it.
You'll allow it.
I'll allow you to be freaked out by it.
But this baby
it's
is.
Sensually creepy.
Sensual. Mm. The baby's not sensual. The baby's.
No, no.
Negative
that's a,
sensuality.
That's a nightmare. That's a void.
All right. So this next one is called Lord Lundy, who was too freely moved to tears and thereby ruined his political career.
Oh.
So Rob Ford.
So this makes a ton of
toxic
sense.
Toxic masculinity. Mm. Right?
Lord Lundy from his earliest years was far too freely moved to tears. For instance, if his mother said, Lundy, it's time to go to bed, he bellowed like a little Turk. Mm.
You can be racist Man. While you do poems.
Or if his father, Lord Dunkeray, said, hi, I'm in a commanding tone.
Wait, I'm sorry. If you said hi in a commanding tone?
Yes, except
okay, this
I
kid...
said it ridiculous.
Hi.
Hi, I'm in a commanding tone because I misread.
Okay.
Well, maybe this kid does cry a little too easily.
Oh, yeah. But I don't think it should ruin his political
I don't
aspirations.
Think so. Here's the thing. Do what you dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, I'll take that again.
Hi.
Or if his father, Lord Dunkeray, said, hi, in a commanding tone, hi, Lundy, leave the cat alone.
Wait, so is hi like hey?
Seems like.
Because remember when the kid was getting eaten by the lion,
going,
he said
hi.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's hey. Okay, well, he's getting scolded, so I think it's okay if he's crying.
Lord Lundy letting go its tail would raise so terrible a wail as moved his grandpa, the Duke, grandpapa, the Duke, to utter the severe rebuke. When I, sir, was a little boy, an animal was not a toy. I agree.
Here's
I
the
agree
thing.
With that.
I think this kid is not, he's not too, like, because I think the poet is trying to tell us he's too sensitive, but he's not. He's being a brat.
He's a shitty kid.
Yeah, he's being a shithead that wants to torture animals.
Yeah.
Not.
He's not thinking about the welfare of animals.
No. And honestly, they should get that
kid
checked out.
He's a tantrum thrower.
Yeah.
Okay. We all agree. Yes?
We need to talk about Kevin.
Yeah, we need to talk about Kevin.
We need
again.
To talk about Lord Lundy.
Lord Lundy.
When I, sir, was a little boy, an animal was not a toy. His father's elder sister, who was married to a parvenu, whatever.
Well, put a pin in that.
Confided to her husband, drat the miserable peevish brat. Why don't they drown the little beast? Wow. Nice. Okay.
Nice.
Wait, right. The cat or
next
the kid?
Step, drown
the
it.
Kid.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Suggestion.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
They're not going to hurt a cat in this poem. The kid.
I am sick of it.
Cat violence in a poem? I don't think
again.
So. Again.
Suggestions which, to say the least, are not what we expect to hear from daughters of an English peer. His grandmama, his mother's mother. All right, we're reaching.
It's fine.
We know what a grandmama is. Who had some dignity or other.
Man, whoa. Okay, here's the thing.
Calling a grandma as character.
Dignity mm-hmm. or other.
Yeah.
The garter or no matter what. I can't remember all the lot. All right, but this is your poem. Maybe remember it.
Yeah. Also, maybe
you
then don't mention it.
This.
Don't mention it if you don't want to think
of
the details.
You are writing.
Like, you don't have to.
He's like, I had some dignity or other.
I think he phoned this one in.
Yeah. The garter. Or,
here's the thing. He had like
no
57 of them to write.
I can't remember all of that. Said, oh, that I were brisk and spry to give him that what for which to cry. An empty wish. Pardon. An empty wish, alas, for she was blind and nearly 93.
What are we talking about right now? The grandma?
Yeah.
Great.
Wow.
Grandma.
She's straight up a skull,
grandma.
You guys.
She's a skull?
Yeah, she's straight up a skull. The dear old butler thought, but there. I really neither know nor care. For what the... Clearly, I am better at reading other writing than poetry.
No.
I'm like...
Well, also, it's confusing because he doesn't really get cadence or like
his rhyme has no reason, you guys.
Yes.
Whoa.
Nice. Oh, rhyme nor reason. I really neither know nor care for what the dear old butler thought. In my opinion, butlers ought to know their place and not to play the old retainer night and day. I'm getting tired and so are you. Let's cut the poem into two.
He didn't do that.
Wow, he did.
What is he talking? I don't even know what we're talking about right now. What's happening in this
story? I trust Michael Caine.
They're just going.
The only butler I know.
Michael Caine.
Alfred.
Michael Caine.
So what we're doing is we've gone through family members who are like, oh, I'll tell you what I do with him.
And oh, the boy. That's
yeah.
Right. We're still talking.
We're still
I
talking
forgot
about
we were talking
Lord
about
Lundy.
The kid that cries a lot.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
okay, 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 okay.
Second canto. It happened to Lord Lundy then, as happens to so many men, toward the age of 26, they shoved him into politics, in which profession he commanded the income that his rank demanded, in turn as secretary for India, the colonies, and war. But very soon his friends began to doubt if he were quite the man. Thus, if a member rose to say, as members do from day to day, arising out of that reply, Lord Lundy would begin to cry.
I cried during Parliament.
Apparently.
That's embarrassing.
That's a little embarrassing. Sometimes toxic masculinity is right. Lord Lundy would begin to cry. A hint at harmless little jobs would shake him with convulsive sobs. For while as for revelations, these... Oh, God, this fucking meter. Well, as for revelations, these would simply bring him to his knees and leave him whimpering like a child. It drove his colleagues raving wild. They let him sink from post to post, from 1,500 at the most, to 8 and barely 6, and then to be curator of Big Ben.
They made him take care of Big Ben.
That's a thing that you can do.
They're like,
you're like, Big Ben.
Hey, welcome to Parliament. You're the secretary of Big Ben.
He's the curator of Big Ben. And I feel like
no,
if you're a curator.
You're in the cabinet as secretary of Big Ben.
When you do that, that means you're like keeping track of like a lot of things. But like Big Ben is one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mr. Lundy, how's Big Ben doing?
He's sinking to his knees.
And why?
Somebody give me a cat.
My tea.
So this definitely implies that the curator of Big Ben is in the cabinet.
It's a sick job.
But here's the thing. That is such a fucking British thing to do, right? To have like a cute little position.
We'll see how
this works. Am I talking shit about the curator of Big Ben? Is that like a really important person?
It might be. Yeah.
It's James Bond.
I mean, if it's in the cabinet, it clearly means something. All right.
It's true.
It's a cushy job. I mean,
certain level of respect, but it is cushy.
You know what? What if he was literally up there making sure Big Ben was on time.
That's so like, sad.
Making
That's
sure so it's keeping perfect time.
Sad.
She's like looking at us.
Going back from
and they're like, his wow.
wristwatch to his giant Big Ben.
They're like, great job, Lundy. No, you're doing so good.
You're so great. You're so, oh my God. Oh, I can't believe Big Ben is so running perfectly.
Oh, we have an award for you.
Do you want some tea? Do you want a cat? Want to pet a cat? You can pet the cat. Just don't pull its tail.
I can't pull its tail.
We have to.
I can't pull its
tail. We have to drown him. It's Lord Lundy.
All right. And finally, there came a threat to oust him from the cabinet. The Duke, his aged grandsire, bore the shame. See, I'm sorry. I can only pronounce it in or. Deliver it in this ridiculous way if I want to keep what the fuck is going on.
No, go ahead. I like when you do it that way.
Okay.
I like that.
Good. The Duke, his aged grandsire, bore the shame till he could bear no more. He rallied his declining powers, summoned the youth to Brackley Towers, and bitterly addressed him thus. Sir, you have disappointed us. We had intended you to be the next prime minister, but three... What is this three? Okay, whatever. The next prime minister, but three. The stocks were sold. The press was squared. The middle class was quite prepared. But as it is, my language fails. Go out and govern New South Wales.
Oh, burn. New South Wales. They don't even have a Big Ben. Fired.
Wow.
That's Australia got curating fucking... a fucking clock. These fucking nationalist dicks.
I mean, they sent people out. Australia was like.
Right.
Wow. Whoa. Okay.
This is a
twist ending, you guys. Are you ready?
I thought it was over.
It 100% should have been.
I thought that was like a mic drop. 100% that was pretty good. Should have been.
Yeah, because this next one, not good.
Okay, not good.
Thanks
for setting us. The aged patriot groaned and died, and gracious how Lord Lundy cried.
Well, of course he cried.
But his fucking grandfather just died. Fuck you.
And he's being sent to Australia.
Hilarious. Yeah. Yep. So he was banished to Wales. And his granddad died.
Well,
finally, you have a reason to cry, you little bitch.
I'm like,
why don't you go govern South Wales?
This is like Monty Python New sketch. South Wales. Yeah. Just like the idea of like just somebody just crying in the middle of the
that
office.
Actually, you know what? The thing is, pretty funny.
That was pretty funny. That was surprising.
Yeah.
Only Good because it was surprising, not because Wales deserves it.
New South Wales.
Rebecca. I like that all these
Samanderley.
For the most part, like start with somebody's name.
Yeah, me too.
That's kind of fun.
Then you know their name right away. Yeah.
That's you're like you're supposed to gain everything from the name. You're like, oh, that's such a Rebecca thing to say.
Like, okay. Yeah, it's like giving someone a unique name.
Classic Beck.
Classic.
Cassiopeia.
Rebecca, who slammed doors for fun and perished miserably.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. No. A boy
fuck that
shot a loaded gun towards his sister and got scolded. This girl mildly. Slammed a door and died.
He got reprimanded, which I consider tamer than a scold.
Oh, yeah. Reprimanded is less.
For sure, right?
It's just like looking at someone with like hard eyes and like yeah, pointing.
They're like, no.
Don't look at me with those hard eyes.
Yeah. Oh, father, your eyes are so hard. Okay, tell us about Rebecca.
Not the father who was hung.
hung.
A trick that everyone abhors in little girls is slamming doors.
Do they?
Especially little girls. Little boys, it's fine.
It's so funny when they do it.
It's so cute.
Pause for picture.
Okay.
Cool. Wealthy banker's little daughter who lived in Palace Green Bay's water.
Oh.
By name Rebecca Affendort was given to this furious sport.
Her name is Affendort?
Yeah, Rebecca Affendort, which is a very Harry Potter name.
It is.
Oh, the Affendorts.
That's we've got Star Wars and Harry Potter all Ravenclaws. Over the place. This makes total sense because aren't we always pulling fantasy and sci-fi names from British
history?
Totally. You're right.
was given to this furious sport, she would deliberately go and slam the door like Billy Ho to make her uncle...
Who? Oh, how?
Who?
Who? Sorry.
Sorry, I'm not familiar.
Well.
Who? Well.
To make her Uncle Jacob start.
Oh, okay.
That was like when start...
Startled.
Like scared. Yeah. To oh, get what scared. A start.
Let's bring that one back, too.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, I...
Oh,
yeah.
You gave me such a start.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was not really bad at heart. Okay. Well, that's very gracious of you.
Yeah. Good. Well, but she still deserved
to feel like you're
die.
Not going to give a shit in the end. But
this next line. She was not really bad at heart, but rather rude and wild. She mm-hmm. was an aggravating child. Mm-hmm. It happened that a marble bust of Abraham was standing just above the door this little lamb had carefully prepared to slam. And down it came. It knocked her flat. It laid her out. She looked like that.
Whoa.
Wait, I'm sorry.
She looked like...
Like
what?
Like what?
Oh, a little lamb? So like a hunting thing fell on her?
A marble bust.
Oh, marble bust.
Abraham, I'm assuming from the Bible?
It's something Bible related.
Because I...
Listen, it was a fun piece of art. It was a fun piece of art that they had up. Uh-huh. Like, listen... I want something to just brighten the room up. So I'm thinking like a marble bust of Abraham.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, I just think it's kind of fun.
It's like airy. Like it's
conversation
like
piece.
Casual.
Like, oh, who's that? Oh, Abraham from the Bible.
From the Bible.
I don't even know how you get a marble bust on a wooden wall.
Why would you do
that? It's just like peeling from
I
the...
I would like to know how they know what Abraham looked like. Just saying.
Like stories.
From stories.
From stories.
So somebody comes in and they go, did you notice my marble bust? They're like, yeah, nice. Did you recognize who it is? Like,
I'll give you a hint. It
rhymes I'll with... give you a hint. He's from stories.
He's from the Bible.
No, from stories.
From stories.
Well, here's not a twist.
Okay.
It laid her out. She looked like that. Her funeral sermon, which was long and followed by a sacred song, mentioned her virtues, it is true, but dwelt upon her vices too.
Rude, unnecessary.
Never speak ill of the dead, especially dead children.
And showed the dreadful end of one who goes and slams the door for fun. The children who were brought to hear the awful tale from far and near were much impressed and inly swore they never more would slam the door as often as they'd done before.
Here's the thing.
Well, at least she died for a reason.
Yeah, for these children to come and hear the story.
That's the Edgar Allan Poet kind of thing going on. Edgar Allan Poet.
That's nice. You know, I bet you he never heard that.
Oh my God.
He goes back and gets coffee.
I've heard that one before.
You ever get a...
Yeah. Because your last name's Poe.
Poet.
Did you notice I put that on your latte?
Whoa, okay.
If that little boy at the very beginning hadn't been eaten by a lion, I would seriously be very mad about the fate of these girls.
Well,
but he was eaten by a lion, so okay.
Well, here we go.
Equal opportunity child abuser.
Again, I mean, slamming the doors, maybe that caused fires. It's just a whole...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
George, who played with a dangerous toy and suffered a catastrophe of considerable dimensions.
I should hope.
There we go. We hope so.
Okay.
The house better come completely down on this.
He better die at the end of this.
Oh, no. Kelly's covering her mouth.
Read it. When George's grandmama was told that George had been as good as gold, she promised in the afternoon to buy him an immense balloon, all caps. And so she did, but when it came, it got into the candle flame and of a dangerous sort, exploded with a loud report. The lights went out, the windows broke, the room was filled with reeking smoke, and in the darkness, shrieks and yells were mingled with electric bells and falling masonry and groans and crunching as of broken bones.
This is not his fault.
And dreadful shrieks when, worst of all,
fucking mayhem.
The house itself began to fall.
Oh, shit.
It tottered, shuddering to and fro, then crashed into the street below, which happened to be Seville Row. When help arrived...
By the way...
Among the dead.
Dr. Strange.
Dr. Strange.
Dr. Stephen Strange.
When help arrived, among the dead were Cousin Mary, Little Fred, the footman, both of them, the groom,
Both.
The man that cleaned the billiard room.
All two.
Oh, no. Not Jim.
Not Jim.
The chaplain and the still room maid.
Who?
Sally.
Oh, her.
I remember Sally.
And I am dreadfully afraid that Monsieur Champignon, the chef, really, his last name is Mushroom?
Champignon.
Will now be permanently deaf. And both his aides, weird tabbing, are much the same. While George, who was in part to blame, received, you will regret to hear, a nasty lump behind the ear. Moral. Why am I getting these ones that say moral? The moral,
spell it out.
The moral is that little boys should not be given dangerous toys.
So that was not for children. No, that was for grandmas.
Yeah, it was for grandmas.
Never give a balloon. It was a damn balloon. That is not dangerous.
Yeah. This is like the first.
This is like 1800s balloons. They're filled with poison.
They're like, what is that devil thing?
Yeah.
Cyanide balloon.
Yeah.
This is like the first.
How does it float?
Magic. It's the first like anti-video game. Like,
yes, violence in video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Mothers against.
They're perverting your minds, balloons.
These balloons.
These balloons.
What's next?
Charles Augustus Fortescue, who always did what was right, and so accumulated an immense fortune.
Wait, what? Are you fucking joking right now? I don't want to hear about this kid.
Boring.
Oh, man, it's going to be him. This is going to be a story of his life.
Is this like the last one? It is.
That's why you're ending on an up note.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I would like our guest to end it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm honored.
You can read about this great little kid.
This wonderful child.
White, rich kid who just does nothing and succeeds.
And he's definitely a boy.
Great.
Yeah.
Privilege. The nicest child I ever knew was Charles Augustus Fortescue. He never lost his cap or tore his stockings or his pinafore.
Pinafore.
So what?
In eating bread, he made no crumbs. Holy shit.
That is impressive.
Because he could unhinge his jaw and eat an entire loaf and some.
Because he could unhinge his tongue.
He was extremely fond of sums.
I love a kid who can do math.
Okay, great. Cool.
To which, however, he preferred the parsing of the Latin word.
Oh, he's such fancy a fucking boy.
This is Rushmore.
A drip.
It is Rushmore.
He's
a boy of letters.
Boy of letters.
He sought when it was in his power for information twice an hour. And as for finding mutton fat, unappetizing, far from that, he often at his father's board would beg them of his own accord to give him, if they did not mind, the greasiest morsels they could find.
Ew.
His later years did not belie.
I'm a good little boy. Give me all that fat from the mutton. I'm too hungry and good. I'm sweet. No crumbs. My big greasy mouth sops it all up.
Anyway.
And the Oscar goes to. Holy shit.
Sorry, I wouldn't be laughing.
I was like kind of puking a little bit.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Oh, it's so awful.
Is it really hot in here?
I really want McDonald's right now.
Greasy.
His later years did not belie the promise of his infancy in public life.
Infancy.
Excuse me, sorry.
In plural.
In public life, he always tried to make a judgment broad and wide. In private, none was more than he. Renowned for quiet courtesy, he rose at once to his career, and long before his 40th year, had wedded Fifi, only child of Bunyan, first lord of Everfield. He thus become immensely rich and built the splendid mansion. I had a stroke. And built the splendid mansion, which is called the Caesar's Muswa. Whoa, it's a different font.
Ooh. Fun.
Ew, gross.
And built the splendid mansion, which is called the Cedars Muswell Hill, where he resides in affluence still, to show what everybody might become by simply doing right.
Just be a rich little boy who eats his mutton.
And also he married rich.
He has a mustache.
Oh, good to know.
Cool.
Is this... He's you.
Oh no.
You could be him.
Oh no.
Like looking into
a
mirror.
Oh my god. Oh. He's not you. I take it back. He's not you. I'm so sorry. I said that. I'm so sorry.
I've never seen you sit.
The couple
like
look pretty happy though.
Yeah, I have never seen you sit like this once in my life.
Ew. His little slipper is off on one of his feet.
I can just hear him now, like, will you be my wife?
Be my wife. Can you wipe my greasy mouth with your wedding dress on the day of our wedding? I don't need a cake. I just need mutton instead of cake. Can we just get layers of mutton fat? I'm so hungry. So hungry for marriage.
I hope his wife sleeps in a different bed.
She waits until he
sleeps
sleeping.
In a different house.
She like waits till he falls asleep.
She's like, what have I done?
And she gets up and goes to sleep.
Like, I'm being a regular Lord Lundy right now. Why did I do this? The wealth isn't worth it.
The wealth isn't worth it. Well, what a treat. I mean, indeed. Do you guys feel guided having read those?
I definitely will no longer be almost shot by my brother.
Because
I think that's the lesson I took.
It's your fault.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just hangry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hangry for those greasy morsels.
Greasy morsels.
Mm. Kelly, what did you take from it?
I learned that, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is be born rich.
Yeah.
And just kind of coast through life and then marry someone that's richer than me. Mm-hmm. And even though it's her money, it will be my, accomplishment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have a book written about me as being a model child. Also, never cry.
Kelly thinks a book is a poem.
Yeah.
Let's not tell her.
thank you so much for joining us, Steven.
Oh my God, this is so much fun.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
I mean, just check out See Jurassic Right. Lindsay was just on. I don't know when this will come out, but you can check it out. Lindsay was on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just lots of Jurassic Park stuff there. And then the Purrcast is where I talk about cats. Kelly was on. And her cats are so adorable.
Thank you.
We all love guesting on each other's podcast.
Yeah.
So great. And you can follow me at Stephen Ray Morris. Thank you.
Thank you,
Stephen.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. And before we go, we just want to say a big thank you to everybody who has taken the time to rate and write a review of the podcast. Doing both truly does help us out, helps us be seen on Apple Podcasts. So without further ado, thank you to podcast_expert.
Thank you to C.Rib.
Thank you to Johnny Kitar.
Nice. Thank you to Amy Says.
Thank you to Zooty2D00.
Thank you to Mish1383.
Thank you to Court330.
Thank you to Red. I think it's Red Bull, but I think they.
Red Bixel. Thank you to The Saltiest Salt Life.
Thank you to Rig072384.
Thank you to AshJane1024.
Thank you to iOS Bit Reviews.
Oh. That sounds like a brand. Mm-hmm. Thank you to Andre S. ..
I tried to click it to see the full name.
Yeah, I did too.
Thank you to Dave 123564325763.
That really sounded like an automated system.
Thank you. I voiced quite a few of those.
It was great.
Thank you.
You deserve that money.
Thank you. Pay
and
me.
Finally, thank you to C. Graves 22.
Thanks so much, you guys. And also, not only does it help our show, but when I'm in a bad place, it's really nice to see that people like what we're doing.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys listening. So if you would like us to give you a shout out next week, please go on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars. Please, please rate us 5 stars.
Please,
5 stars. Thank
if you have criticisms, email us.
Or add us on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't.
You don't need it. If you super love us, please rate us 5 stars and then leave a review saying why you like us and why you would recommend us to others. Thanks so much. See you next week.
Keep it lit.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.